Good morning. Well, I hope you're rested and ready to go. Several had asked yesterday about the international schools, and so Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita, Kansas, or Bel Air, is the school that was started 35 years ago. I was concerned really about some of the things that Eric was talking about were creeping not only into the church, but as well, I just felt very disappointed in what was taking place in the public school system. And I didn't feel like I could homeschool because I could do math and science, but my children, my naturally born children, really didn't like math. They're allergic to it. And my daughter speaks seven languages, and her husband speaks eight. My grandchildren speak three and four. But I you probably have realized I struggle with English. And so I hired a good teacher. We had six kids, my two kids and some friends of mine from the university, from the school, and as it began to grow, my father said, "You're crazy. What in the world are you doing? You're too." And I said, "Dad, it's not a school." But the next year, it continued to grow. We hired two more teachers. The next year, we had about 200 people in our front yard. The first couple of days of school, I said, "I don't even like kids. Get them out of here." And they just kept coming every day. And I knew most of their parents. And so that turned into Sunrise Christian Academy. We have three schools in Haiti, one in Guatemala, two in Brazil, one in Lebanon, one in Cambodia. We have my daughter and her husband work the main campus in Yangon. We have two or three other startup schools in Burma. And then in China, we have an orphanage, a school, and something called WA, halfway in between, a little province, a new country, in between China and Burma. We have 16 schools, four are under construction right now. We have the privilege of feeding somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 children every day. And our hope is to present them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very seldom, it does happen, but very seldom do they kick you out of a country when you're involved in education. It's happened. One of our teachers was on trial for his life from teaching Sunday school when he wasn't at the school. And this afternoon, I'll tell you about Brother John. Our school's in WA. He's in prison, just sentenced last month to 7 years in prison for teaching at the school. So there is that kind of persecution that goes on. I think it's going to soon come to North America because time and time again, what's taking place, and I don't want to get into all of that here because I've got too much to talk about as it is. You haven't started my 45 minutes yet, have you? Start me. Well, no, give me. There's no more Bible commentaries. They're gone. There's no more Ahava. It's gone. There's only five necklaces left and two baby blankets. I should have brought more, and I apologize for not. I've already texted home, and they bawled me out, because sometimes I don't know what I'm going to have until I get here. I mean, you can tell, I don't think about that table very often. I like to read. I like to study. I like to preach. But I'm just horrible over there, and so please forgive me. We are trying to get an electronic copy of the list of innovative things from Israel, and I think we'll have that to either hand out by making copies or on the website here of last day's Bible conference. And so bear with me just a little bit longer. They're working on that at home. There are some books. One is called Can You Really Know the Future? Read What the Bible Says. And it's about current events and Bible prophecy. We're going to be talking about some of that now. It's $5. I'm not trying to make a living by doing this. I'm trying to make it so inexpensive that you'll buy some and give them away. And then there's one called The Power of the Cross, the seven sayings of Christ from the cross, and how really the last week or so that Jesus was going through his trial, it really was to show to us the validity, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about the enemies of Israel. Last night, we talked about the blessings of Israel, the land, the people, the nation, and then the blessings to everybody. You can start my clock now. Okay. But today we want to talk about the enemies of Israel. It's amazing that they would have enemies, isn't it? And so I want to begin by talking about something called crunch time. And sometimes I use this to kind of show people where we are. And so crunch time is this idea that as you get closer to the actual event, things begin to accelerate. Now you already know that I don't know a lot about Canadian sports. But you know, I was thinking more about cheese bowling or Curling, yeah. And I'm all for it. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to introduce it in my international houses because I see those guys with brooms, and my international students don't know what a broom is. I mean, they know the computer, but they don't know a broom. And so they have a person when you're curling, and he's yelling at them, and they're sweeping like crazy. And then from time to time, one takes a little break, you know, and then he says, hey, wait, wait, wait. And man, he starts sweeping. He sweeps really fast. No dustpan. New style. I'm going to have a dustpan, and then I'm going to do curling in the international houses. I'm going to have the cleanest houses in the world. How to get on that? Crunch time. Well, it may be true in hockey, but I know this is true in football and in basketball. Have you ever watched an NBA basketball game? It's just ridiculous. The first quarter, the stars are on the bench clipping their nails. The second quarter, they're signing their own books and handing them out to people. The fourth quarter, you know, they actually suit up. The last 3 minutes of the game, they play basketball. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, all the rest of it's just monkey business. But when you get right down to it, have you seen a wedding? You know, they announce this wedding a year ahead of time, and they've got all these things, and now they even send out a thing that says, mark this date. For what? You know, and then they send you a little note saying, this date is really important. For what? And they finally send you an invitation. But I don't care how far in advance they send all that, the last 2 weeks before a wedding, you know what it's called? Crunch time. And so when it comes to the Bible, there's crunch time. You see, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, there was no nation of Israel in the land for 1,878 years. Check me out. But in 1948, Israel came back. And then 19 years later, Jerusalem was recaptured in the Six-Day War. And then 12 years later, the Ethiopian Jews came back. And 4 years later, the Russian Jews came back. And 3 years later, the deserts began to bloom. And now, every single day, we're watching something in the news. Okay? Now, I told you last night, I had my secretary stay up until I was getting ready to go. And I'll show you why. Because I'm going to try to quote at least 15 news articles that took place in the last 30 days. We're in crunch time. I really believe that the next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. I really think we're that near to it. And remember the signs that we're going to look at today. There's signs for the tribulation coming. There's signs for the millennial kingdom. There's no sign for the coming of Jesus Christ for the church. It was to be we are to be so ready in our minds, so ready in our walk with Jesus that when he comes, it's just a it's like Enoch. He walked with God and he was taken. And so we want to look a little bit at this crunch time. And I want to do so by showing you that God has tried to introduce to us the whole idea of the catching out. And I want to use Matthew for 3 or 4 examples, and then I'm going to go to John. But start in Matthew chapter 12 and listen quickly because I'm going to try to talk quickly because have you noticed we haven't gone through one single slide yet. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 38, and then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign for you. Isn't that incredible? They said, would you show us a sign? He just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He just healed a blind man's eyes. He just made a crippled person walk, and they want a sign. You know what? If it's based on signs, there'll never be enough signs. And so he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Wow. Do you think he was talking to them about what was going to take place? Oh, you guys are silent. Okay. I'm going to go until we get the whole crowd to say amen. Matthew chapter 17. I've got all day. I mean, I got 43 minutes left. Matthew chapter 17. Look at this one. Verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And the disciples were exceedingly sorry. One, amen. Matthew chapter 20. We got a whole Bible to go through. Matthew chapter 20. Look at this one. Matthew chapter 20. And notice the chapter is getting closer and closer together. And Jesus, verse 17, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples aside along the way and said to them, behold, we go to Jerusalem. Can't you see the disciples taking out their phone and checking their calendar on their iPhone? It says, yeah, Jerusalem for tonight. Okay. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Yeah, we're getting better. Matthew 26. I hope some of you get converted before this message is over. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 1. It came to pass that when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Here's my point. Did Jesus know that the cross was coming? Did Jesus warn the disciples that the cross was coming? And did he promise resurrection? And so he keeps telling them, hey, do you understand? We're going to Jerusalem. Do you understand? I'm going to be betrayed. Do you understand? I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to come alive 3 days later. And the disciples went to the cross. They saw Jesus crucified, and they didn't get it. They should have. And after he came alive from the dead, they said, wow, that's what he was talking about. You see, I'm afraid we're in the same situation. All that God is doing right now in the world, it's so that we might be ready for the sound of the trumpet. These are indicators that we must be living in the last days. John chapter 13, look at this, verse 19. We'll just do two of these, and then we'll hit our real subject for the day. This is an introduction. I'm not charging for this. This is free. But it's part of my 45 minutes. Yeah. John 13, verse 19. And now I tell you before it comes that when it is coming to pass, you may believe that I am he. He said, I'm telling you before it happens so that as it is occurring, you'll know that I knew. Folks, when you see how clear the Bible is about Israel's enemies and what's going to take place in the last chapter, the last little crunch time before Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, you're going to say, wow. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is in control? He's not out of control. He's in control. Matthew, John chapter 14, look at this one. Just one more, verse 29. John 14, verse 29. And now, Jesus says, and now I told you before it comes to pass that when it is coming to pass, you might believe. And so my point is this. If this Bible, some of the passages we're going to read are 2,500 years old. 2,500 years old can tell us what's going to take place in the last days, and we're watching it take place in the news by 20-some articles that have all occurred in the last 10 to 20 days. You know what we can say? It's going exactly as God planned. And so I think that encourages us to tell others about Jesus Christ, the enemies of Israel. Wow, you know something? You'd be surprised, but Israel has some enemies. We looked at the blessings, all the blessings that they give to people, and yet there's enemies. And so I'm going to talk about three. I'm going to try to group all the enemies of Israel into three categories. One of them is Islam. Now, I don't know if we have any Islamic people here or not. If so, that's wonderful, because I have the opportunity when I'm on college campuses to speak with them frequently. And I don't mind. I understand their beliefs pretty well. Okay, and we disagree on a large variety of things. And let me just tell you that this idea of Chrislam, that we can merge Islam and Christianity, it's just totally, completely false. Okay, they start from two beginnings, and they never converge, but they diverge. But the Bible indicates that in the last days, Islam will be an enemy of Israel. Now, I don't know, have you noticed any of that? Yeah. Matter of fact, this is taken from December the 27th, 2017, so it's about 4 or 5 months old. Please excuse me for quoting from something that old Newsweek, but it talks about the Shiites versus the Sunnis. And I think part of the confusion, all the time people say, I don't even know who to root for over there. I don't either. Because it's an Islamic civil war. And so the Sunnis, mostly, when you think of them, think of Hezbollah and think of Iran, and they're against they're the Shiites, the Shiites, and the Sunnis, they're Hamas, they're the ones in Lebanon. And so they're constantly at war with one another. They'll even do, I can't go into the whole story other than tell you, it's just frightful what they'll do to one another. They don't even mind killing one another, that's how bad the civil war is. And often when they do a horrible deed, they try to blame it on the other brand. Okay? So, having seen that map, having seen the Shiites and the advance they're making, and having had a president of the United States who I really believe is a Shiite Muslim, everything he did was to favor Iran. Okay? He never admitted publicly that he was a Shiite, but he observed Ramadan. He observed almost every Muslim holiday you could and almost no Christian holidays. Okay? His advisors, his top advisors, most of them, the majority of them were Shiites. Unbelievable how we were sold down the river. And he never once admitted that he was Islamic. But the proof is in the pudding. Now, I want to go back because I want to talk a little bit about, how do I go back? Ah, yeah, I got this. Hang on. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I'm borrowing Larry's computer. And go with me now to Obadiah chapter 1. Obviously, chapter 1. We're going to do the whole book of Obadiah. That'll scare you. Yeah. And because in this amazing little book, it talks about the plight of the Islamic people. And I'm going to refer to a few things that we did last night, but chapter 1, obviously verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Now remember last night when we were looking at the land of Israel? And God said, all right, Edom and Mount Seir are for Esau. And then he said, Canaan, the land of Israel, it's for Jacob. And so we see that God right away in Genesis already divided the land. And so when you come to Obadiah, here's the judgment of Edom. Edom are the descendants of Esau. And so when you have Abraham, all of them look back to Abraham, and then we split. We have Ishmael and Isaac. Okay. Isaac, I believe, went to the Temple Mount as a potential sacrifice, and Abraham had so much faith in God, he thought he would raise him from the dead. Ishmael never made the journey. I'm sorry. If you believe that Ishmael made the journey, then you don't believe what the text of the Bible says. And there's no historical proof that Ishmael ever went there with Abraham to be sacrificed. Okay, I call that a lie. All right? Then, afterwards, you have Abraham, Isaac, and then you have Esau and Jacob. There's another split. And Esau and his family, again, go with some of the Ishmaelites, and they're part of the Arab kingdom. And Jacob, who became Israel, that's part of the Jewish kingdom, okay? So when you come to Obadiah, he's talking about the judgment concerning Edom, or Esau. Look, if you will, for the sake of time, verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. So he's going to cut him off. It's going to be an eternal cutoff, all right? In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, and the day that the stranger carried away the captive of his forces, foreigners entered Jews' gates, cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was one of them. I think when Israel was taken captive into Babylon, we saw that there was a remnant of Esau that actually fanned the fire, that actually delighted in it and took advantage of Israel in that particular thing. But thou shouldest not have looked on that day of thy brother in that day that he became a stranger. Neither should you have rejoiced over the situation of Judah in that day of their destruction and so on. Then, verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Think about that. As thou hast done, it will be done unto thee. When was the last time you heard of a Jewish person boarding a bus and blowing up a bus? Yeah. When have you ever heard of a Jewish person going into a school and slaughtering children in a school? Yeah. When have you heard of a Jewish person going into a mall and it doesn't occur. But when they're Islamic, it has occurred and they're looked at as heroes. Do you understand the difference? God said what you did to others is going to happen to you. I tremble for the retaliation that's going to come. Then it goes on. He says, verse 16, for as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, I think that's the Temple Mount. That's the one last night I showed you that they're claiming. So shall all the nations drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. They will be completely wiped out. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Jacob will possess the possessions of Esau. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau for stubble. What happens to stubble when fire and a flame comes on it? It's destroyed. Now, right now, I know the whole world says, wow, it looks like the upper hand is the Arab world. It looks like they have oil, they have money, they have all the power, they have everything going their way. I'm going to show you one decision after another that's been made in the United Nations, in some of the educational organizations, all favoring Islam. Even in my country, it's hard for me to understand, why have we gone so pro-Islamic? God spare Canada from that. Yeah. I'm worried as well. But you see, it was, he put it there so that we would recognize we're living in this last day. And then he says, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. It's not going to be because of the greatness of any nation to help Israel. It's going to be because of Jehovah God. Yeah, that's a judgment upon Esau. Go with me now to Ezekiel chapter 35. And so here's what I'm saying. I totally expect for Islam to be against Israel. I totally expect for Islam to be against the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not surprised the Bible indicates that that would be the case. Ezekiel chapter 35. I should read the whole chapter, but I won't. Verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir. Remember the other place where Esau went? Yeah. He went to Edom. He went to Mount Seir. He said, set thy face against Mount Seir, prophesy against it, saying to it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, I will stretch out my hand against thee, I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, verse 5, because thou wast a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. He gives the reason. It's true. I mean, isn't that taking place? Verse 6, toward the middle, God says, I will prepare thee unto blood. Verse 7, I will make Mount Seir most desolate. Verse 8, I will fill this mountain with slain men. Verse 9, I will make thee perpetual desolation. So do you know what? By the time you're done, 11 times it says, God says, I will destroy them completely. Yeah, they're an enemy of Israel. I admit that. But don't be surprised, the Bible said it would take place. And by the time it's done, they will be completely, totally destroyed, and all the possessions in the land that they have will be part of Israel and part of the kingdom of God in the millennial kingdom. Wow. I don't mind telling you, I'm glad I'm on God's side. Here's another enemy. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to introduce this, and I'm going to come back to it because that's really the main part of my message. How much time do I have left? Are you saying 42 minutes? No. Yeah. Okay. Now, since we're in Ezekiel, that's why I'm going to introduce it here. Notice that we just read chapter 35. Okay. In chapter 36, he's going to talk about how that Israel is going to come back into the land. There's going to be incredible things that are going to happen in the desert. There's going to be crops that are going to grow. It's going to be so incredible that you're going to say, how could the desert change into the Garden of Eden? Do you think you could tell the difference between the Garden of Eden and a desert? Now, I live in Kansas, and we've got 3 or 4 trees. You know, they're all parks, but that's it, all right? And so, I mean, but I think what we call trees today are shrubs in the Garden of Eden. And he says, by the time I'm done, he said, I'm just going to show you, I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to show you that I'm God. I'm going to take a desert, I'm going to take land that's barren, and it's a wilderness, and when you see crops growing in that desert, when you see that turning alive again, then you know I'm getting ready to set up my kingdom. Wow, what's taking place in the deserts in Israel? And then it goes on. Look at verse 35 if you want to know if I'm making this up. And they shall say, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. The waste, desert, ruined cities have become fortified and are inhabited. There's at least 13 cities that the Bible said would be destroyed, but in the last days they will be rebuilt. All of them, every one of them, not one single one missing, all of them have been destroyed. All of them are rebuilt right now today. The smallest one has a population of 40,000 people. Does God keep his word? Did God tell us before it happened so that as it's occurring, we'll say, wow, God knew it. And so then in Ezekiel chapter 38, we'll be back to that in a moment. He talks about this. Chapter 38, and for the sake of time, we're going to jump to verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Some of you probably remember me talking before about the word chief prince. chief prince, really, the word some of you probably have in your Bible, instead of chief prince, it may say Rosh. Anyone have Rosh in their Bible? Yeah, R-O-S-H. If you go to Israel, read the Jerusalem Post, it's not going to say Rosh, it's going to say Rosh. Exactly the same word being used today in Israel that's used in Ezekiel chapter 38. Rosh, Russia has two capitals. One, a political capital called Moscow, or through history you can trace it to Meshek. Two capitals. The other is an industrial capital called Tubo, or today we call it Tobolsk. It's where Gary Powers was shot down in a U-2 plane as the United States was spying over Israel, over Russia. And then he begins to talk about how that there will be, as they come down, verse 5, there's going to be Persia, that's today's Iran, Kush in Put, that's Ethiopian Libya, verse 6, Gomer, or Germany, verse 6, Togarmah, or Turkey, and he says they're going to come against him when Israel thinks they're at peace. Now, that's not this moment, but I think there's a way you'll see it all comes to pass. By the way, Zechariah chapter 12 says that all the nations will come against him. The United States and Canada will come against him as well. Something's going to occur. I may even suggest what I think it is. That's the second enemy. One is Islam. One are the nations that the Bible has already picked out, God has already picked out. He's named them, and he's put them into Ezekiel chapter 38. And then the third enemy is the Antichrist. Yeah. The Antichrist, he's going to hate him. Go with me quickly to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll show you how this scenario takes place. Now, there's more to say on each of these by far, but I think with this background, then what I'd like to do is to try to come back to current events, but at least you know kind of the three pillars of it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in pain, and birth and pain to be delivered. I think that that woman is none other than Israel. And by the way, if you look at a lot of commentators, they're going to say it's the Catholic Church. It just cannot be the Catholic Church. All right? Next, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. In other words, there was a plan of Satan to destroy the child that Israel would bear for the Messiah. I think that's what Herod was doing. I think he was doing the work of the devil. And it's not the only time. There's other times in which we've seen the devil trying to stop the redemption process. And then you'll notice this. Verse 5, she brought forth a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That can only be Christ. Okay? And the woman fled into the wilderness. That's not Mary. That's Israel. That's, I think, at the time of the tribulation, where she hath a place prepared by God, and they shall feed her there 1,260 days. That's the first part of the tribulation, 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then, in the midpoint of the tribulation, it says, verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now there's 3 archangels that we know of. Maybe there's more, but there's only 3 that are given a name to. Are you with me? Okay. Lucifer was one. Incredible position in heaven, but he wanted to be equal with God. And he was cast out. And he took a third of the other angels with him. And then we know that there's Michael. Every time you see Michael, he's in a fight. He's the warrior angel. And he's going to fight the devil. This is the real Star Wars. Forget the Hollywood Star Wars. That's kids' play. This is the real Star Wars. It's the devil, Lucifer, fighting Michael. Okay? And then there's Gabriel. Gabriel has a great job. He's the archangel. He gets to do all the announcements. He announces the birth of Christ. He announces visions to Daniel. Oh, my. What a job. I mean, it's a good one. Okay, now look at this. Okay, his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And so I think they fight against Israel. So those are the three enemies. Islam, is it present? Yeah. The nations, do you see the nations siding against Israel? Yeah. And the Antichrist, he's going to set Israel up so that they will actually agree to a peace treaty. And in this peace treaty, they will set down all their weapons. Now, probably you know when I go to Israel, as many times I've been there, and I'm involved in engineering, that I do know a little bit about some military situations. I'm not trying to tell you a secret. Just use your sanctified imagination. Let me tell you this. I'm not afraid for the United States to go against Rocket Man. You know who Rocket Man is? Yeah. I don't even fear Russia. But I dread the day the United States thinks that we can take on Israel. Because we sell weapons to Israel, and when they modify them, we don't know how they use them so effectively. Are you with me? And so we're watching Israel with its creative mind, its incredible ability. And yet, you want to know something? I think they're going to be delivered by God, Jehovah God. Because you see, that's how they got out of Egypt. And every time they've been in a tight situation, it hasn't always been by their strength. It's been by their God, the strength of their God. And so here's this Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to deceive them by wanting a peace treaty. We're going to see the remnants of that. Matter of fact, it's unbelievable to me that just recently we had a so-called peace conference in Paris. The only thing that came out of the peace conference was a reprimand against Israel. Yeah, that's a peace conference. That's just baloney. Now, we've got to make some time. So here we go. There's more about that. And by the way, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of those kings that come together with the Antichrist, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom. So when we see the world come together, and when we see a ten division political power, isn't it interesting that the United Nations recently divided the whole world into 10 regions? Just an accident, unless you believe in Bible prophecy. And then you know, yeah. Which shall never be destroyed when the kingdom of God comes. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, the kingdom of God, shall stand forever. And so now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 38, and we just read how that Russia would come. And it's interesting to me, because April the 11th, hope you'll allow me to quote from something that's about 16 days old. This is incredible. Because I'm sure that you realize that over 8 years, the United States pulled out of the Middle East. There was a time when the United States was a very dominant participant in the Middle East situation. And over the last 8 years, our president couldn't even say the name Israel. He could not pronounce it. It could not come out of his mouth. I actually have a tape where his press secretary, they said, okay, what is the capital of Israel? And the press secretary said, well, you know what it is. He said, no, we're asking you, is it Jerusalem or is it Tel Aviv? He says, well, our opinion hasn't changed. Let me tell you this, that during those 8 years when President Obama was in office, they tried to purge every site in the State Department that mentioned that Israel, that Jerusalem was in Israel. And they tried to say that Jerusalem was in the West Bank. That's a lie. Okay? And it happened. And so here, the United States, Trump says this, get ready for Syrian missile strikes. Now this is incredible because, you see, Russia vowed they would shoot down any U.S. missiles fired at Syria. I'm not trying to get you to vote for Trump. I don't care if you do or don't. You know, here's what I'm saying. God uses certain people. And so Trump just says, you know what, Russia, you better get ready. Because if you think you're going to fire a missile into Israel, or if you think you're going to fire a missile, if you're going to shoot one down, then you had better get ready. I'm happy about that. Now look at this. The Golan battle. Okay, and it's near the Israeli border. Look at this. I mean, I'm showing you the battle place. Okay, when we go there, we stand right here. And when I'm there, I can actually look with my own eye and I can see a Russian tank right there. 3 kilometers away. It only takes one crazy person to fire one tank in the wrong direction at the wrong moment. And let me tell you this, the Middle East will break into a powder keg. Okay? We could not be closer at any time in the last 10 years to a world war than we are at this very hour. I love it. You want to know why? I'm not hoping the war breaks out. I just like it because every eye in the world is trained on little teeny Israel. How does Israel make the news every day? Because God said they would. Yeah, and we're watching it take place. And so here they are. The first Russian-based Syrian outfit, it's right there. And if you look, you'll see, look, in Syria, you're going to see all of these flags. I mean, the United Nations is there. Russia is there. Israel, this is incredible. All the players, I mean, all the people that God said would be in the last days are right there in position. There's only one thing out of place. Those that are Christians belong in heaven. They're going to be in heaven before it all breaks out. Now, I only bought a one-way ticket here. Yeah, because I think we're so close. Yeah, that Jesus might come. Yeah, and so, wow, look, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that God knew? He wrote this in the book of Ezekiel. This wasn't written last night. God said, when you see this, you know you're living in the latter days. Now, April the 11th, here's Syria. And we see a chemical war. The world sits there and does nothing. Except for some idiot New York real estate person that's been elected president. He said, whoa, you're not supposed to do that. And so then, you see what Syria said? She said, how dare you correct us? Why not? Somebody needs to tell you it's wrong. I don't know. And they say, well, you know what they say? Well, that was the Sunnis. And the Sunnis say, no, that was the Shiites. I don't care which one of you it was wrong. And you see those little kids gasping for breath. I tell you what, that's wrong. And if we can sit by and watch that take place and have no response, we have no heart for our compassion for humanity. Wow. Do you understand that what this is allowing Russia to do? Russia is now right in the middle of the Middle East. 8 years ago, America was there. America's gone. Yeah, America's gone. President Obama withdrew himself. He hated Israel. He wouldn't say the word. And America's presence is gone. And Russia politely took their place. And so now they're saying Israel is terrorist. You know what? If you say it long enough and loud enough, some people are liable to believe it. Or look at this. Iran's anti-Israel rallies, a tradition during Ramadan this year, included ballistic missiles. And here's your statement. Israel will be wiped out. Listen, if any other country had that kind of a threat, can you imagine what the world would do? Say it about Egypt. Say it about Jordan. No, you can't say it about any other country. You can't even say black and white in our country anymore. You can't even say boy or girl. You can't in my school. I still have boy bathrooms and girl bathrooms, and don't you dare try to go across that sign. Yeah. I mean, we're so politically correct, we're ignorant. They say Israel will be wiped out, and they have the missiles cocked and aimed there, and the world says that Israel's the terrorist. Folks, I'm not smart, but I'm smart enough to figure that one out. Okay? That's a lie. Do you understand? Unless someone says, hey, that's wrong, we're just going to keep going down the path. The Saudis shoot down missiles, drones in the Middle East. And then everyone wonders, well, why the tensions? Why are they so high? I'll tell you why. You shoot down somebody else's plane. You shoot down somebody else's missile. It's going to cause some tensions, okay? And so the missiles were fired just hours after President Trump confirmed the United States would strike the Syrian president if his forces continue to back Russia and Iran over the chemical attack. I thank God for a president that's not afraid to say, you know what, I told you I'd do this, and so here I am. I'm going to do it. You know what? It's about time we have somebody on the world scene that's not afraid to do it. I think he did the right thing. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't even agree with how he says it. But wow, he's got some nerve. And then look at this. The French president, he declared that he will govern France like a Roman god. Yeah. And so let's begin to take a look at some of the other people. I mean, we know here's Germany. Now, here's a sign. Germany, I'm going to say this, Germany is ruined. I don't know if you've been to Germany. It's ruined. And it got ruined because they welcomed so many of these immigrants in, these refugees in. And when they came in, they did not matriculate into the society. They had their own society. And so they come in. They practically ruined the cities are just torn apart. They put a sign on the bridge, your children will pray to Allah or die. I don't know about you, but to me that shouldn't be the job of the immigrant. So here's Markle. Oh my. She's a work. Yeah. And so she says that really what we got to get used to, she says, we got to get used to the fact there's going to be more mosques in Germany than there are churches. She favors Sharia law. Yeah. Courts in Germany authorized a group of self-appointed Sharia police. Germany is gone. It's gone. Because the people didn't stand up. Would anyone be surprised if Russia invaded Israel when you see how close they are? Would anyone be surprised if Iran or Persia invaded Israel? See how close they are? Would anyone be surprised if Germany sided with them? April the 20th. Sorry, that's going to be 8 days old. Iran to Israel. Fingers are on the trigger. Missiles are ready to launch. Keep your finger there. You want to know why? Because God says the nation, the armies that go against Israel, God will judge them. Yeah. You know what? Here's what I think is going to speak so loudly to the Jewish people. The deliverance is not going to come from America. It's not going to come from Canada. It's not going to come from any nation. It's going to come from God. Yeah. God is going to say, look, Israel, I'm going to keep my promise. I haven't forgotten you. And now 2 days ago, here's this response. Israel will hit Iran if there's attacks. They actually say we're going to hit Tel Aviv. Okay, and so 2 days ago, Israel responds back. Every nation came against Israel because they said, if you hit us, we're going to fire back. But no one went against them when Iran said, our hands are on the trigger. You see the double standard. Hey, folks, this is taking place. It's exactly what Ezekiel 35, 36, 37, 38 said would be in the last days. Iran threatened to bomb Israel with an atomic weapon on their Independence Day. Within 48 hours, they had an earthquake, 5.9. And I wanted this to be a video. And maybe I've got the video. I'm not sure. Let's see if I can play this video here. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, that's incredible. They threatened that they were going to bomb Israel with atomic weapons on their Independence Day. And within 48 hours, God sent them an earthquake and it looked like a bomb hit their city. You don't mess with the living God. Listen, let me tell you this. When everything is done and said, this book is the final word. This book is the plan of God. This book is the will of God. And I mean, this is incredible. I mean, the sandstorm turned Iran into a sandbox. I mean, really, they said, it's going to take us. Guess what? Now they want relief from other nations. Yeah. They've got more money in their piggy bank than they could spend in a lifetime. And they want us to get. Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, if it was a few years ago, the United States would be bailing them out. The United States withdraws from UNESCO. This is the UN's culture organization. And it was set up in 2012 to help education and relief. And so it sounds so good, doesn't it? But the trouble is, in those few short years, from 2012 to 2018, it turned anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic. And so as a result of that, Trump recently said, okay, we're pulling out. And so now they're sending us bills. as of right now, we pulled out at the end of the year, they said that we owe them $600 million because we haven't paid our dues. Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. And so among the things they did, they said that Hebron is in the West Bank. Why would that be a point of, that's where all the patriarchs are buried. Okay, they said that the Temple Mount is an Islamic archaeological site. It goes on and on. I can show you so many things. It's just preposterous. I have a whole article on it. You can look it up for. Here's some important factors. How much time do I have? 10 minutes. Okay, I can talk faster. You got 2 ears. You can listen faster. I've only got one tongue. You can listen faster. Okay. Number one, they want Jerusalem. Okay, and in UNESCO, they prove that, and so they said that really Israel is not capable of controlling Jerusalem. It needs to go to a more powerful, a bigger organization. And so they said, no, it just can't be. And so the World Heritage Committee, they disavowed Israel's sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem. And they said, it doesn't look like there was ever any Jewish civilization ever on the Temple Mount. Now, let me tell you how ridiculous it is. I have an old guidebook from Jerusalem. It happens not to be a Jewish guidebook. It has to be an Arab guidebook. And the Arab guidebook 23 years ago said that's the Temple Mount where Solomon built the temple. And now they've changed their mind and Solomon didn't build the temple there. This is ridiculous. Sooner or later, someone's going to say, you know what? You guys are liars. Next. Oh. Remember, Turkey was mentioned in Ezekiel 38. And so here's the Turkish president. And he is so mad about the fact that the United States is going to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And so he calls Netanyahu a terrorist and Israel a terrorist state. And he condemns him because the Israelis killed 17 Palestinian protesters in Gaza. You know what they were doing? They were firing missiles at Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but when you fire a missile on somebody and somebody fires back, I think you got it coming. No one mentions the missiles, the dozens of scuds that went sailing over the wall. All they mention is that Israel, in self-defense, kills 70. You see how they're going to turn the news around? They want Israel destroyed. Look at this. Israel, your days are numbered. For world peace, Israel must be destroyed. Here's an important factor. The United States is no longer a dominant part. Matter of fact, recently when things really got hot, they took the Bush carrier, named after President Bush. They moved the ship all around to a different side so that it wouldn't be caught in the crossfires. They honestly thought within 48 hours a war would break out and they didn't want the new destroyer to be destroyed. You know what that's called? That's called being a chicken. Yeah. We're no longer a dominant part there. But guess who took our place? Yeah, Mr. Putin. Mr. Putin in Russia is right there. Oh, wait, isn't that what the Bible said would be in the last days? And then with Russia as a dominant factor, well, here's Mr. Putin, and he goes to Iran, and he's talking about a whole new Middle East. And in article after article, you can see how they've got things planned. And so part of his power play, he goes to... He talks about Saudi and Russia having oil deals leading together, allowing Russia to have more and more rights there. Right now, Russia and Saudi Arabia's relationship is becoming thicker than oil, was the article that was in March. And then he goes to Mr. Abbas, and he's trying to bring about a historic peace deal. Isn't it something? Every president feels an obligation to try a peace deal. It will never happen because the Antichrist will make a false peace deal. And then, believe it or not, the next day, he's in Israel. That's what you say, playing both sides against the middle. You don't think for 1 minute that the people in both countries don't know that he's going back and forth? And he tells one lie to one and another. Oh, boy. Look at this one. This is old. Paul Henry Spock. He's one of the founders of the modern European Union. He says, we do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people, to lift us out of the economic morass in which we're sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him. Yeah. And I fear, because in some of the peace talks that I've witnessed, I think the Antichrist is present. I think the Antichrist is alive today. I don't ask me who do I think he is. The Bible doesn't name him, so why should I? But I think he's alive and well on planet Earth. And we're watching the world trying to take Jerusalem, to take Israel. We're watching the nations align. We're seeing everyone searching for a peace treaty, and they even admit, we'll do anything to get this. I think we're on the brink of it. Here's what the Bible says. It says that all nations will come against Israel. Because you know something? I think that if Israel were to retaliate against some of the attacks that are going on against them, I think all the nations will respond against them. Hey, let me tell you this. If you were Israel, and you were so small, tucked in among all those people that want to destroy you, here's what I'd say. The best defense is an offense. And so Israel may fire. But how many threats, how many missiles can you take? And the Bible, Zechariah chapter 12, talks about how that all the nations will come against it. And God says, on that day, Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone. And we're watching that take place, aren't we? And so here on January the 1st, 2017, 70 nations met in Paris. And they had what they called a peace conference. And the result of it was the 70 nations lined up against Israel and said that, Israel, you're the reason that there's no peace in the Middle East and no peace in the world. They blamed every situation on Israel. Isn't that what the Bible said would be in the last days? Folks, what else would God have to show us for us to realize that we're on the brink of Jesus coming? Because you see, I think before Russia invades, I think before the Antichrist can take his power, there's something the Bible says that restrains him, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, holds him back. And I think that's the Spirit of God. And so here are all these nations lined up and they're waiting. They don't even know what they're waiting for, but we do. Because if Jesus were to come today, can you imagine the confusion that would take place in the Middle East? Can you imagine how people would be looking for a leader as millions of people disappear? As chaos comes economically. And I can see how Satan could come in. And before long, he will present a peace treaty to Israel. Daniel 9:27 says they will believe him. They will accept it. They will set down their weapons. And when they have unwalled villages, they will become an open target for other nations. And it will be at that time, after they made this 7-year treaty, that in the middle of the treaty, he will cause the sacrifice to stop. I think they'll even promise Israel, you know what? We'll let you sacrifice on the temple. But right now, that's a point of contention. But he's going to say, you can do that. In the middle of that 7 years, he's going to stop it. The Antichrist is going to erect an image of himself, require a mark to vote for him. And Revelation 14, anyone who has that mark can never come to Jesus Christ. Folks, I think we're on the brink of these things taking place. But before the Antichrist comes, I think Jesus will come. Amen. Are you ready? Amen. If Christ were to come today, do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you have family and friends that really should be telling about the Lord Jesus? You want to know something? I find today that people are really very open to hearing about Jesus. And sometimes the ones who are afraid to talk about it are us. What would happen if you ask somebody something about, have you ever taken Christ as your Savior? Or sometimes I say, wow, aren't things in the Middle East really exciting? I mean, isn't this what the Bible said? And I mean, even people on the plane, they'll say, And just to hit a couple air bumps, and they'll say, yeah, what were those things you were talking about? Yeah, I say, yeah, thank you, Lord, for the turbulence, you know. And all of a sudden, people that had no interest before, they put down the Wall Street Journal, and they're willing to say, wow, you know, I just can't believe it. I mean, here's what the Bible says taking place. And man, look, and I showed them the PowerPoint. Guy says, wow, yeah. He said, I did see that article on that. I said, yeah, that's just what the Bible said. Man, I said, this is really a good time to have a Bible and to know Jesus Christ, isn't it? He says, yeah. He said, I think it probably would be a good time. Yeah. And I mean, every few minutes he said, now wait, I said, oh yeah. And you know, isn't it wonderful? Here's what he said. I'm going to tell you before it happens so that as it is happening, you'll know that I knew. Folks, not one event taking place in the Middle East is catching God by surprise. His word, his eternal word, his living word has told us it's all coming true. And we are the people, we are the chosen people that get to see it take place in our lifetime. There could not be a more exciting time to live for Jesus than right now. May we tell people about Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to share Christ with others. Father, may we become a student of your word, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.